And so she prayed and she interceded for me. And after a little while, it kind of eased up. And so I was able to go back to sleep. But when I woke up, I just remember still not feeling great. And so I said to my wife, you know, I think I better run and see a doctor before I take off on this trip. And so we got in right away, and the doctor examined me, and he ran some tests on me. And he said, Pastor, I think you're having a heart attack. We need to get you into the hospital. And when he said that, there was this little voice that said, don't receive that. Now, I'm not anti-doctor. I've appreciated them. I frequently have them travel with me and do seminars, and they'll do treatments and stuff. And I really appreciate the doctors. But I said, Doctor, I can't go into the hospital. I got a seminar I'm going to. And I got about 200 pastors going to be waiting for me. He says, but you might die. And again, I heard that little voice say, don't receive that. And so I said, Doctor, I'm going to go home and I'll get back to you later. And I walked out of his office and he was not happy. And so I went and my wife and I, we prayed, said, Lord, there's confusion here. What's going on? We need your guidance. We need your help. And I just felt the Lord say very clearly, go do your seminar and trust me. Well, I did. And we went out. We had a great seminar. I didn't have any more problems. And I felt great. No more problems with my lungs. And I totally forgot about the whole incident until 1 month later when I got a letter in the mail. And it came from a lady that was in my church, Calvary Chapel Banning. And she was one of our prayer warriors. And she said, Pastor, are you okay, as I'm reading this letter? And she said, I was doing my laundry, and all of a sudden I saw this picture of you, and it really bothered me because it was like somebody was trying to take your lungs and squeeze the air out of them. And she said, I was so bothered by it, I just started praying and interceding for you. And then she said, I didn't have a peace about it, so I called the whole prayer chain, and we were all praying for you, and we just wanted to know, were you okay? And then she gave me the day and the hour that she saw, I believe, a vision from the Lord. And it was the very hour I had woken up in the Philippines, gasping for air. And she had no idea, except in the spirit realm. And the Spirit was speaking to her that she needed to pray and intercede. And I'm so thankful for people that pray and intercede, you know, because you never know, you know. So if you wake up in the middle of the night and you see this face, start praying because I'm in trouble somewhere, okay? But, you know, after that, I got that letter, I thought, you know, I'm going to go to a heart specialist and check out what this other doctor said. And so I did, and he ran all kinds of tests on me. He came back and said, Pastor, your heart's fine. There's nothing wrong with you. And we began to think back what was going on. And we realized that it was the enemy trying to stop me from going to do what God had called me to do. And you know, the enemy's powerful. And he often will try to intercept and stop what God is trying to do. So anyway, I'm so thankful for people that pray. And I'm thankful. I know some of you are praying for me. Every time I go out, you get my emails. And if you want to get on my list, just give me your email and you can see where I'm going and you can be praying and interceding. I appreciate it so much. But anyway, if you would turn, you're with me on chapter 4. And we're gonna look up, start in verse 23 of chapter 4, where the disciples now, Peter and John, if you recall what had happened, is they had been going to the temple, and there was a lame man at the temple gates, and Peter and John stopped, the Holy Spirit stopped them, and they laid hands on this man, and they prayed over him, and it was an amazing miracle how God had healed this man who had never walked. And so, you know, it had caused such a commotion and such a stir. And then many of the people gathered together, and Peter preached a powerful message. And many people that day, over 4,000, got saved. It was just an incredible time. And so right after that, Peter and John were arrested because these guys were preaching in the name of Jesus, and the Sanhedrin thought they had just got rid of Jesus. And so they arrested them, and they brought them in, and they put them on trial. And Peter and John were just boldly speaking to these men. And I love verse 13 of chapter 4 there. He says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus." Isn't that amazing? Yeah. You understand, you don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to have training in a seminary. But that if you spend time with Jesus, he can use you. And he longs to use us as we offer ourselves to him. And so Peter and John, they were let go finally. And so let's pick up in verse 23. "And being let go, they went to their own companions, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the peoples plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant that your servants with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Join me in a word of prayer. Father, as we look at this text this morning, we invite your Holy Spirit now to come and to be our teacher and to guide us into the truths that we need to understand. And so, Lord, we thank you for the power of prayer. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand this amazing tool that you have given to us. And so we just commit this time to you now in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So as we look at this prayer that the disciples prayed, we're going to see what they did, first of all, in a time of crisis. And then secondly, we're going to look at how they prayed in this crisis. And then thirdly, we're going to look at their view of God as they prayed. And then fourthly, we're going to look at the results of this kind of praying that they're going to do. It's an amazing prayer. And so in verse 23, notice it says, "Being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them." And so what did they do in this time of crisis? Well, it says that they went to their own companions. Now, remember, they had been severely threatened by the Sanhedrin. These guys are powerful, and they have the ability to throw them in prison. They can't put them to death, but they can certainly put them in prison for the rest of their lives. And so, you know, they've been severely threatened, and they said, "You stop preaching the name of Jesus." And so they went to their own companions and were told that they reported everything that had happened. And so it's important, first of all, where we turn to in times of crisis. You and I, when you go through a difficulty, where do you go? You know what the enemy loves to do when you go through a crisis? He loves to isolate you. He doesn't want you to get involved with other believers because he knows that they're going to pray and lift you up. And you see, the body of Christ, God wants to use us to minister to one another. And so we're here to pray and lift up each other as we go through different crises in life. And I'm so thankful for people that I've had pray for me in times of crisis and difficulty. So where do you go in time of crisis? Well, notice next, it says, and when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. And so notice what they did next. It says they lifted their voices to God in one accord. What does that mean? Well, obviously, they're praying. But did you notice how they're praying, it says? They're praying in one accord. And that's so important to learn how to pray with other people. Because a lot of times we get involved in prayer, and I don't know if you've been in one of these, you know, where, you know, say, okay, here's the request, you know. I remember as a boy going to church on Wednesday night, and we had all the prayer requests. And so we start to pray, and this guy that's in the front row, he can really pray. Like, I mean, beautiful prayer, eloquent, you know, and he'll pray and pray. He'll go on for 20 minutes and goes through the whole list. And I'm sitting in the back of the room going, there's no way I'm opening my mouth. I could never pray like this guy. And actually what he was doing was discouraging the rest of us to really join in prayer. And people often do that. They'll go on and on and on in their prayers. And you and I, when we learn to pray together, and I found this works so well in small groups, and I really encourage you to try this next time you get in a small group, is that you will pray topically. In other words, you just bring up one thing at a time. And we have a prayer group from our church. We meet every Sunday night. And we pray this way in a small group. And it's amazing because what we do is we'll bring up one thing at a time. And we always remind everybody, say you don't pray about three or four things, just one thing. Bring up one subject because that's the way we always talk together, right? We talk topically. You know, you talk about, boy, the weather, it's been so nice out lately. I just love it. And it's so nice when it rains. And, you know, you talk about the subject of the weather, and then you change subjects. And so when you pray, we don't do it that way. We just kind of have run-on prayers. And what you'll find is this is such an effective way to pray where you just go one thing at a time. Lord, we just pray for Brother John right now. You know he's going through a divorce. And you know it's a difficult time in his life. And we just want to lift him up. Short prayer. And I stop. And then somebody else goes, and Lord, I pray that you would just give John wisdom how to deal with this situation. And then somebody else adds something else. You see what they're doing? You're all focusing together on that prayer. And it's powerful to pray that way. And you know what often happens? The Holy Spirit often will give you an insight that you didn't even think about. And it will lead you to pray as the Holy Spirit guides you and directs you. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful way to pray as you bring up one thing at a time, praying topically. And so they prayed together, we're told, in one accord. How we need to pray together in one accord. Well, he goes on and he said, Lord, you are God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. So let's look at their view of God here. How do they view God here? Well, they see him as a creator, don't they? And how big is the creator? You realize when you're talking to God, you're talking to the creator of the universe. And God can do anything. Is there anything too big for God to do? And I love the fact that when I'm praying, I know who I'm talking to. He's the creator. He's created all things. And so their view of God was first, he's created everything. And when you talk to him, you're talking to the creator. Did you realize this morning when you prayed, you were talking to the creator of the universe? Boy, You know, there's a lot of important people in this world that I could never talk to, but I can talk to the one that created it all. Well, and then secondly, I want you to notice, starting in verse 25, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the peoples plot vain things? And the kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And so, secondly, I want you to see there what their view of God is here. Because did you notice as they're praying right from Scripture? This is right, this prayer comes right from Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. They're praying Scripture. Do you know that's a great way to pray? Just pray right out of the Scriptures. And many times I'll see a Scripture verse and I'll just pray it as I'm praying with my small group of people. But you see, they viewed God as a God who speaks from his word. Do you believe that? God speaks through his word powerfully. I'll never forget, I was on a trip to my first ever trip into Russia. Started going in there in 1991 when the wall was collapsing with communism. It was just a tremendous time. But the first time I ever went in there, I had no connections. All I knew was some guy was going to pick me up at the airport and bring me to a hotel. And after that, I was on my own. And so, you know, I'm a little concerned because I don't have any connections. And so on that flight, as I'm flying over, I'll never forget turning to the book of Isaiah and reading into the 42nd chapter, verse 16. And it said, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. And I knew this context was speaking to the children of Israel, but I knew that verse was for me because I was the blind guy. I had no idea what I was going to do, where I was going to go. And so I was picked up at the airport in Moscow. They took me to this huge, humongous, there's three towers of hotels that were built for the Olympics. And I'm taken up to the 34th floor and I'm walking down the hallway. And two doors before my room, there's this door that was wide open and I could hear the guys talking and they were talking in English. And I stopped and I listened to their conversation for a moment and I could tell they were believers. And so I stuck my head in the door and introduced myself. And before I was done with them, they had given me connections where to go and to meet different people. And God just opened the door. I began doing trainings in Russia and God just began to do a tremendous work. We helped a lot of Calvaries get planted over in Russia in those early years. It was just an amazing adventure that God took us on. But I'll never forget God speaking so powerfully through his word. And I'm so thankful that he speaks to us. And when you pray, you know, you can pray Paul's prayers like, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open, that you'd know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Boy, you can pray that for me anytime. But thank God for the fact that he speaks through his word. And then notice next in our text, it says, verse 27 and 28, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed with Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Do you see their view of God there? They believe that God is in control. Do you believe that? You know, we live in a chaotic world. There's just so much going on today. It's just like mass confusion out there. And it just seems like, you know, everything's out of control. But we know that God is in absolute control. I love what Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, it says, he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And you see, God is in control. You understand, nobody has come into power in any country around the world except by the will of God. And God has allowed evil kings to come in, and you look at all the kings that came into Israel, and especially in the northern kingdom, so many of them were evil, really evil. And they had evil ones in the southern kingdom. And you realize that God has allowed that for a purpose. And we have people today in positions of authority, and it, you know, you just shake your head. But we know that God is ruling and he's reigning. He's in absolute control. And then notice next, it tells us that in verse 29, now Lord, look at their threats and grant that your servant with all boldness they may speak your word. Do you see how they're praying there? They're not saying, Lord, man, we are really in a bad situation. Get us out of this. But you see how they're praying? They're saying, Lord, give us boldness to go through this time. You see, praying through the trial instead of escaping the trial. And many times we pray wrongly when we're going through a hard time. We're saying, Lord, get me out of this. When we should be praying, Lord, teach me what I need to learn in this trial and this difficulty. And so what we do is we pray through that trial and thank God that he will give us wisdom and understanding as we pray through that trial. But then again, notice their view of God in verse 30 here, okay? First, we've seen that they recognize him as a creator. Then he's a God who speaks through his word. And then thirdly, he's in control. But now look what fourthly, their view. And it says, by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Do you see their view of God there? They believe that God's going to act. When you pray, do you believe God's going to act? So often we will pray, and Lord, I don't know if you can do anything. What kind of view of God is that? It's pretty weak, isn't it? But as we pray, we expect God to move. We expect him to work. And I'm so thankful that he's a God who acts. You know, my wife and I, we were blessed with four kids. And our oldest daughter, she and her husband have been here, Frank and Leela Sanchez. They've been here many times doing worship. And he's spoken a bit with you all. And Leela and Frank, they had four kids. And they had three older ones, and then they had several years went by, and then they had one more. And their oldest three kids, when they got to be teenagers, and we have our Calvary Chapel there in Colton and all. Anyway, these three kids created such a problem. They rebelled totally against their mom and dad. And it got so bad that we actually had a split in the church. It was terrible. And we just prayed for these young teenagers. And we were just asking God to break through in their lives. And you know, just nothing happened for the longest time. And then one of the oldest ones, the son, he came into his mom and dad's room one night, and he was weeping. And he said, Mom and Dad, I feel like I'm going to go to hell unless I repent. And he said, I know what I've done. And I know I've hurt you, and I'm really sorry. Would you forgive me? And he sought forgiveness from his mom and dad, which he got. And the next thing you know, he's going with me to do an inductive Bible study seminar in a location. And he's going through the course himself. He went through the course about four times. And he got so excited about the word. And today he's serving the Lord. And he's in another church not that far away. And he's serving the Lord. And looks like maybe the Lord may take him overseas even. We don't know. Well, that was one. There's still two more, and the girls were very rebellious, and we kept praying, and we kept praying. And then a second daughter, she went into the room and with her mom and dad again, weeping. And she confessed, and she said, "I'm so sorry. I need you to forgive me." And they did, but she still wasn't following the Lord. She was still rebelling. And we kept praying. And just a few weeks ago, she came back home, said, "Mom and Dad, I've given my life to Jesus Christ." Wow. There is just more joy when you see God answering prayer. He loves to act as we pray. There's one more yet. And we're still praying. She still hasn't come through yet, but we believe that God is doing a work and he's going to break through. And you see, as we pray, God hears our prayers. He hears our cries. And we don't get answers immediately. You know, I would like to have them really quick, but often he delays and he says, "Wait." And so we wait, but we keep praying, keep persisting. He's a God who acts. And then I want you to notice, and when they prayed, the place where they had assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It's like God just reached down as they prayed that prayer and just took a hold of that building and shook and said, "Yes, right on. That's the way to pray. That's the way to pray with power." And God wants our prayers to be powerful because he wants you to have the right view of God. Do you understand that he's a God that created all? There's nothing impossible for him. He's a God who speaks through his word. He's a God who's in absolute control, and he's a God who acts. And you and I serve a God of action. And he wants to move. And he wants to work. But so often, we limit him because our view of him is way too small. And God wants us to have a bigger view of him, a bigger vision. And he wants to work. And he wants you and I to trust in him. I'll never forget meeting a pastor many years ago. I know some of you have heard these stories because I've been here a lot and shared a lot of these stories with you. Forgive me for repeating, but they're good stories. But anyway, I met this pastor when I was in India. I was doing a seminar there. And, he was from actually the country of Bhutan. And if you look at a map, you see India here, and then Bhutan is up in the kind of the northern part of India there. Tiny little country, about 3 million people live in this country. And so anyway, there was this pastor who was at my seminar who was from this country. And he had been down and he was doing radio broadcasts and so forth. And so while he was there, he went through my training and all. And so one day, anyway, at lunchtime, they said, "Would you like to have lunch with this pastor?" I said, "That would be great." And so we sat there and we talked and went back and forth. And finally, I said to him, I said, "Well, tell me, you know, growing up in this country of Bhutan where it's totally atheist and they hate any Christianity, how in the world did you become a Christian growing up in this country?" And he said, "Well, it's a long story." I go, "Well, I've got ears to hear. I'd love to hear." You know, and so he was very reluctant, but he began to share this story with me. And he said, well, he said, my parents, who I was living with, and I was married, and I had two small children, and we were all living together. And he said, my parents were listening to Christian radio that was being broadcast into the country. And he said, they got saved. And once they got saved, he said, they started preaching at me. And he said, they kept preaching at me all the time, you know. And finally, I said to my mom and dad, listen, I don't need Jesus. I have a great job. I have a lot of income coming in. I've got a nice car. And I don't need this Jesus. And he said, I was out on a trip. And I got a call from my mom. And she said, son, your baby, who was just a little over a year old, is really sick. And we don't know if he's going to make it. You need to get home. And so he said, I drove and drove for many hours to get back home as quick as I could. And he said, when I walked in the door, I knew something terrible had happened. And he said, my mom and dad, they were all weeping. And he said, your son has died. And so he said, I went over to my son lying on the bed. The doctor had already been there. And he just said there was this lifeless body laying there. And he just began to weep. And he was weeping and weeping. And his mom and dad came over. And they said, son, we have been reading in the Bible that Jesus can resurrect the dead. And we want to ask Jesus to do that right now. And he said, I looked at my parents and I said, if this Jesus would resurrect my son from the dead, I'd give my life to serve him. And he said, my parents just had this childlike faith and they just went over and they laid hands on my son and they began praying and praying and praying. And he said, after some time, all of a sudden, we realized that the baby was breathing again. And the baby began to stir, and then he began to cry. And he said, I saw with my very eyes Jesus resurrecting my son from the dead. And he said, I got down on my knees right there, and I gave my life to Jesus, and I've been serving him ever since. And you see, I found out later why he didn't really want to share that story with me. Because he shared with me how he had shared that with another American that had come through, a pastor. And he said, he didn't believe me. And I didn't want to tell you either, because I didn't want you not to disbelieve. And the question is, why not? Can God resurrect the dead? I believe he can. I haven't seen it. But I believe God can do anything. And God wanted to work in that young pastor's life. He became a pastor. And he said, you know, the king in our country, he's trying to put Christianity to death. And he said, I have a radio broadcast now, and that's why I'm down here in India right now. I'm making recordings that are being broadcast into my country. And he said, I know the king is going to try to kill me. But he said, I don't care. Because I gave my life to Jesus. He resurrected my son from the dead. And the least I can do is give my life back to him. And so you and I, we have this amazing tool that God has given to us. Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And you see, we live in a very volatile time. But God is working, and he wants you and I to get involved. We can't just sit back and do nothing. And God is stirring the hearts of his people. And brothers and sisters, I see it because I'm traveling all over the world. And I see him stirring hearts of people to get involved, because these are the last days. Jesus is coming back soon. And I'm so excited what he's doing. And I'm so excited the doors that he's opening to minister. He's even given me opportunities to train Iranian leaders. And Iran is, as you know, a mess. But God is stirring in that land, and God is going to overthrow, we're told by Jeremiah chapter 49. He's going to overthrow the leadership there. And he's going to make Iran a Christian nation. That's what the Bible tells us. That's pretty wild, isn't it? But God is moving. And I believe we're seeing these very things happening. And you and I know what God is doing. We can see. He's told us in his word what he's going to do in the last days. And when somebody says, I don't know the future, but I trust in him, brothers and sisters, that's wrong. Because we do know the future. The scriptures tell us what's going to happen. And you and I need to study his word, because it's very clear what will happen in the last days, and we are living in those last days. And I don't know about you, but there's a call to pray more powerfully than ever before, because God is breaking through. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Would you stand, please? Father, thank you this morning for the power of prayer. And Lord, forgive us for those times when we have doubted, when we have prayed these weak, feeble prayers. And Lord, help us to pray with power. Help us to have a view of you that doesn't limit you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just do a special work in every heart, in every life here. You know the needs here this morning. And Lord, I just pray that this morning even, that those who have some special needs, that they wouldn't leave without asking somebody to pray for them. Lord, we're a body, and we can support and pray for one another. And so often we're ashamed, or we're hiding something, and we need prayer. And so, Lord, would you just stir the hearts this morning, Lord, that we would be a people that would just pray for one another and encourage one another. And so, Lord, thank you again. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I just ask your blessing on this church and Pastor Randy. And, Lord, we just pray that you'll just stir the hearts, Lord, that much will be done in these last days, that we won't just sit back and just watch, but Lord, we will get actively involved in your kingdom. And so we give you praise now. We give you thanks. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, it's been good to be with you today.